Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the 289th episode of Just Shoot It, a podcast about filmmaking, screenwriting, and directing. This episode is brought to you by patrons Daphne and Ryan Kindle. I'm Oren Kaplan.
And I'm Matt Enlow. Today we've got a catch-up episode. Oren and I, we've been pretty darn busy, so we're going to talk about that. And then we're also going to dig into some listener questions. We've got a batch of really great listener questions that we've been holding on to. We've been exchanging information with them. And now I think it is a good time for us to dive into a couple different topics: distribution, legal questions, as well as a DIY distribution question. So we're going to dig in. I think it's going to be a really great episode. And I know, Oren, you're dying to talk to me about some very pressing personal matters.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to talk about life for a moment. But yeah, and for the longtime listeners, just to give you a little hint on how we run this podcast, if you do not hear guests many episodes in a row, It's a good sign. It means Matt and I are crazy busy and we cannot get our schedules to line up with any other human being's schedule. So we will have some awesome guests coming up soon. We have some people on the calendar, but we want to make sure you got something every week. And I feel like when we are really busy, there's a lot of things that come up to talk about. So that's good. But before we get into anything important, let's do the unimportant stuff first, which is some shout outs to some of our listeners. At the end of last episode, I asked if anyone listens to the end of the episode. And I said, if you do listen to the end of the episode, send us an email and we'll shout you out. So apparently four people.
I think it's more than that. It's more than four, but four is who you got in front of you. So we'll start with that. Maybe we'll follow up with a few more.
Oh, yeah. Let me know if I missed anyone.
Yeah, I think you did.
My goodness. I'm sorry. People have kind of contacted us in various ways, but I assume most people don't listen to the end, but if you do, we will shout you out and we will plug whatever you want us to plug. And I kind of mentioned this to you, Matt. You never really approved it officially, but I feel like maybe I will give a secret word at the end of each episode, literally like the last word of the episode.
A code word. I love this.
And if you email us moving forward with the code word from the last episode, then we will give you a shout out and plug whatever you want us to plug. As long as it's, one sentence or less. So this time we have George VK and his website, filmmakersecrets.com. Shh, don't let them get out. We have Tyler Small. His website is tylerwsmall.com. I assume it's about small things and taller things.
All
if your name was
things.
Taller Small, that would be so confusing. But his name is Tyler Small. And then we have Cal Barnes, actor/director, Cal Barnes, BARNES.com. And we also have a question from him coming up later in the episode. And finally, my favorite troll, Jamie Sandler, also known as Moho Sapien on Instagram, basically sent me a message saying he doesn't need me to mention his email, his website, or anything, but just to let people know that he did listen to the very end of that.
Listens all the way through.
He's persistent. Even though he constantly sends me messages telling me how bad of a job I'm doing on this podcast.
Hey.
So who knows?
Doing God's work. Thanks, Jamie.
Relative to Matt, everyone's a bad podcaster. Okay. And maybe I'll remind people just why not that we have a Patreon, patreon.com/justshootitpod. If you go to it, you can help us out with the podcast, pay for some stuff. $10 gets you an awesome Just Shoot It podcast hat. I just mailed out a bunch of them. I will be mailing out a few more this next week. So check it out, patreon.com/justshootitpod. And that is another way to get your name in the beginning of an episode without having to listen all the way to the very end.
That's true. If your time is especially valuable and you know where that skip 15 or skip 30 button is on your phone, go ahead and engage it. Go ahead and use it.
Yeah.
There's a better way to get your name at the top of an episode.
Oh, through Patreon.
Through Patreon.
As opposed to listening to the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I forget...
You know, both is okay.
One last thing. If I do forget to mention a code word at the end of this episode, you can email me and tell me that I forgot to do that. Justshootitpod@gmail.com is how you get to us.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And now, without any further ado, let's just talk about nothing for a while.
Yeah, Oren, I'm dying to know, what have you been working on lately?
So much and so little. I just came back from Branson, Missouri.
Yeah.
Man, what a place. Las Vegas for families.
It's funny. I feel like I've spent the last year just like praying for work. Like really, the pandemic was hard in a lot of ways.
You're a religious man.
Yes. Yes, that's true. And boy, you know, it's back now. You know, I think we're both very busy and have been traveling a lot, which is still pretty stressful. You find traveling is hard because you're away from your family and, you know, just all of the stresses. But then the level of the COVID stuff on top of it all is just like still a bummer, even though statistically things are going really well for the country.
Yeah. According to my New York Times daily newsletter, we're doing just fine. Okay.
Yeah.
COVID's going away. Schools, masks, no masks. There's no COVID.
You still have to mask up, though. Do you know what I mean? Like the vibe is still weird. Is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, logically, the things that we are doing to prevent it are helping, basically. And I know that New York Times newsletter is like, we have less control over the virus than we think, basically.
Yeah. I mean, there's still that Swiss cheese theory, you know, like. Everything we do to control the virus has some holes in it. So just do a bunch of different things. But I will say, going to Branson, that they do not seem to care about COVID very much. I don't know if that's politically correct to say. We were definitely maybe the only people wearing masks anywhere we went to. And it felt very weird. Have you ever filmed somewhere that is culturally very different than where you live?
Yes, certainly. Certainly, I shot in Moscow.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I think you and I both have been traveling for work with some frequency. And so, you kind of, the wonderful thing is that you get to chance to kind of get to know cities all over the country, which is great. But yeah, the COVID part highlights
there's a difference between
the differences.
Yeah, going to Chicago or going to Branson, Missouri, which also has a little Russian footprint. One of their most popular shows there is the Yakov Smirnov show. he has a giant billboard all over town that says, "Laugh your masks off."
Really?
Yeah. "Laugh your masks off." Yeah. And he
That's
makes
crazy.
Some funny things, and he's even referenced in a Simpsons episode about Branson, Missouri. So, yeah, it's interesting. And now I'm going back to Branson.
Yeah.
The summer campaign, going to do the fall campaign. Turns out, like in other places, there's these things, I don't know if you've heard of them, called seasons. And so they want us to film summer during green leaves, fall when the leaves are red. But it's like a surgical precision. You have to get there like 1 week of the year. There are leaves on the tree. Yeah.
Leaf peeping period, basically.
What's it called?
Leaf peeping. That leaf peeping is the act of visiting a place to appreciate and observe the fall leaves, basically. Oh. So it's like big in like Vermont or, yeah, they call it leaf peeping season.
That's like the cherry blossom season or whatever, like in Washington State, you know, there's like the time of year.
Right, right.
Yeah. But except with us, it's like if you miss it, like they literally, the agency's like, I know you guys want to push by 2 days. If you guys miss the leaves, that's it. We're never hiring
well,
you again.
Well, what's funny, you know, I was in Vermont for a festival a few years ago, and we were driving. It was after Woodstock, and we were driving through just like literally the most incredible fall foliage I've ever seen in my life. It was breathtaking. It was magnificent. It was so great. And I remember pulling over to get lunch somewhere, like a little stop, and it's got, you know, cider and donuts and all that stuff. And they were like, "Boy, such a bummer you missed it. It was really great last week."
What a bummer.
"We're so sorry you guys didn't see the good leaves." So I think that for people who live in those places where they're especially spectacular, there is kind of a magical 48 hours where they are at their peak. It might even be a smaller window, I don't know.
And if you guys want to hear more about leaves, Matt and I are doing a new podcast just about leaves. It's called Leave Now. And we'll talk, you know, for hours about leaves.
I think you should leave.
Our experience.
You should leave.
Already been done. Mm. Anyway, so yeah. So I'm doing that. Traveling is tough with that. And I'm also working on this other job. I think we mentioned it last time, where I'm doing a lot of visual effects. And it's one of these jobs. It's for potentially the biggest company in America. It is one of the smallest budgets I've had in a very long time, and I'm really excited about it. Those two things, even though that seems weird, but every once in a while, I'll get a job where I have to do like everything by myself. The visual effects, they gave us like an idea, but I wrote the script. You know, I developed it with the company, but I kind of wrote it. I pitched the jokes. I make the treatment. I do all the tests. I do the storyboards. We didn't even get a storyboard artist. I just did them all by myself in Blender, and it's crazy because I get like no money for it, basically. I mean, I get like a minuscule amount of money for it, like a couple $100, literally, to do the storyboards, and they take me.
You
like,
mean your bump, basically. So you've got your base rate of what you get paid to direct, and because you're doing the storyboards, the company was like, "Oh, we'll throw in a little bit more."
Yeah, like a couple $100 for the boards, because we don't have to hire a board artist. But in my opinion, it's like, if we hire the board artist, I get them for one day, I have to know exactly what I'm doing. And there's all this kind of like sci-fi visual effects stuff going on. So I have to spend hours describing what this looks like when I could really just make it in Blender. Except it will take me four solid days, and I have to learn how to, every time I use it, I have to relearn how to use the software. So it's exhausting, but
let's
once we
talk
get
about
the
this
set,
a little bit though, because I think that you and I are both in similar situations now where we're doing a lot more. We have a lot more ownership over these spots. And that is the thing that is the most exciting for us, because I think that previously we used to spend a lot of time on this podcast even complaining a little bit about how frustrated we are that we don't have the control that we like to have to kind of make things as good as possible, basically. And so that can be intimidating for some people, but I think the thing that makes me feel reassured is when you have a handful of collaborators who can just look over your shoulder and plus things or pitch things or just validate.
Blame someone.
I'm happy to take the blame. That's the thing. Directors get blamed all the time. And so I'd rather be blamed for my own bad joke. You know, I'm happy to take on more responsibility if it means because we're already accountable for it either way. The frustration is when you don't have control over fixing something and it's not your fault, but you're still blamed for it. That's the thing that's frustrating to me. When you're like, I know that this script isn't good enough yet. And then people are like, boy, this spot just didn't really come together, you know, and then you never get a phone call from that company ever again.
Yeah. And I've had a lot of projects where I have full control. I like am rewriting the script and I'm editing it or whatever. And then in the end, it's like, it's like an okay spot. It's not great. And
sure,
those times I get kind of bummed because I'm like, I have honestly nobody else to blame. I mean, I can blame the budget, which is like the dumbest thing to do. But especially when you have control of the script, like right now, this project I'm pitching, like literally the budget that we have should be two people sitting against a single wall on a couch, mm-hmm. talking mm-hmm. to each other. That's like what we should shoot. That's what we can execute super well with the budget.
That's what
we have.
You can afford is yeah. what you mean. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm talking about, yeah, like, well, I don't know. Commercial budgets don't even make sense at all in context of like how you would shoot a short film or something. But it's a very small budget. And the company had kind of had this idea of like this person flying through a wormhole. And because I'm doing like everything myself, I just like kept plussing it and plussing. And I was watching Doctor Strange and finding all these insane references. And I'm like, we can do this and we'll do this. And then this person will fly up in the air and this person's going to fall through the mm-hmm. ceiling and all these things that are totally impossible.
You have Doctor
to do.
Strange ideas on Doctor Who budgets.
I wish Doctor Who budgets like,
well, you know.
Yeah.
OG Doctor Who is pretty cheap.
Yeah, but they had more than one person probably working on the visual effects. But yeah, but Doctor Who was the wormhole sure. is like Doctor Strange meets Doctor Who meets Doctor Wario because there's this video game component to it. But anyhow,
Is there a Doctor Wario? There's Dr. Mario, certainly.
Oh, is Wario not a doctor? God,
I mean, he could be.
That's why nobody understood. No, Dr. Wario, yeah. That's
I wonder. I wonder how that
it's
works.
It's a mini game. It can be unlocked in the game WarioWare.
Oh, okay, great.
But yeah, Dr. Mario probably would have been a better reference. Anyhow, you lose some, you lose. but so because I have so much creative latitude, I just keep adding more and more and more cool things into this thing, and particles and flares and all these things. And I'm like, oh, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to be allowed to complain about the budget or the schedule because they're my ideas and I'm going to do them.
Right.
So hopefully it comes out good. I did, you know, this Five Gum spot with the same client before and it was a tiny, tiny budget. Also, originally we were going to shoot it on iPhones in like an influencer's house. We ended up shooting, you know, building a little stage, like copying her room on a stage. But yeah, I think everyone's like, yeah, this spot's pretty good given that you had nothing to make it with. And so I'm excited to do it like this because it's almost like you're doing your own short film, except
you just have five figures to do it with instead of out of pocket or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
But the one downside is like you still have a client that's like, I don't know, this line doesn't make sense. So or we can't promise this or like this is too racy. Like I had a line in there about diapers and they're like, diapers, gross. We don't want any poop humor in here. I'm like, ah, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like someone's telling someone else that they should get diapers because they're crying like a baby or something. It's like this someone's insulting someone else. Anyway, mm-hmm. I was trying to make it very rated G, but even that was too dirty for them.
Too dirty. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we're both circling around this thing. I was just talking with a company that I'm working with about this yesterday. You know, when I first started out, I remember seeing all of the directors that I admired the most doing these kind of like smaller projects and not totally understanding where they were coming from, you know, that they were doing PSAs sometimes or just kind of like short films and documentaries and stuff. And I realized that that work, the work that you have a little bit more control over, that speaks to your voice and your point of view or lets you try something and experiment, those are the jobs that get you the big jobs because you have to kind of have the ability to just show people what you can do. And so the magic of these kind of smaller gigs is just that because there's not $4 million on the line and a huge media spend behind this thing, you know, the top, top, top people aren't keeping super close tabs on this, right? And so that kind of gives you permission to stretch it out a little bit. Yeah. You know,
it does make me more emotional though about notes. Like when I work for like, you know, 14 hours straight on making something cool visually, and then they're like, you know what, we want to go a different direction. I like literally, if my table wasn't so heavy, I would flip my desk over.
Yeah, or it hurts your feelings even, you know, depending on what mood you're in. Yeah, look, we've all met different people in the advertising world that have made the mistake of thinking that the thing that we're making is their short film, right? And it's not. It's not. You can invest as much as you can into it, and you should invest as much as you can into it on a personal and creative level, because that's the sort of work that I think everyone wants to do, or at least you and I do. But also know that at a certain point, you know, people are going to, it's going to need to meet the needs of a corporation no matter what, even if that makes it less cool in our eyes.
Right. Yeah. But you see things that meet the needs of a corporation. You see like an amazing Zillow commercial or Little Caesars spot, and they meet the needs and they're also freaking awesome.
Cut to Oren tossing and turning at night. Pizza, 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 pizza.
Yes.
Tormented by that Little Caesars spot.
Well, the other thing that I think both of us have kind of been dealing with a lot recently, and I do think it's kind of COVID related, because we had this downtime and reflection, and now, you know, all these people had like, you know, quote unquote mental health break. Like, that's why this whole IATSE strike, which, you know, like insane, 98% of the members.
Yeah, hell yes.
To authorize this strike.
Can I just say, as a tiny tangent, this is the first time I've ever observed the voting turnout identically matches my social media feed. Do you know what I mean? Like before the vote, I was like, well, to me, it feels like everyone is voting to strike. But also that could just be my own echo chamber, my own bubble. No, it was just actually true.
Yeah. Yeah. I also feel like it's almost like not interesting to be like, I'm for the IATSE strike, because like everyone's for it. That's like saying like, I love healthy food.
Well, like, it's like I think it is important for directors and producers and people who are not in IATSE to vocalize their support.
Right. Like the above the line people.
Yeah. 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 But I think that is important.
Yeah, for sure. I guess it's not insightful. Not like, yeah.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But it's, yeah, I guess it's emotionally meaningful to, you know,
sure,
because we have influence over the way people are treated, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, in a way we do. And in a way we also suffer like those same things in different ways. And we actually don't even have, at least on the things we do, a union to protect us in any way. But yes. But so all those things, and I think, so we all got this break and we all kind of made these big life decisions. I know you have had some really big life events. I don't know how much you want to share or not. I, you know, had a kid because, you know, we had some time off, and then now,
I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. And now with the work being so busy, with travel jobs, with do your own visual effects for 20 hours a day, right, treatments, doing all these things, I am finding this like work-life balance challenging again. What, like, do you have any tools that help you balance that? Like, are your kind of big life thing, are you worried at all? Like, you already like don't respond to half my texts about the podcast. I can't imagine.
Yes, I'm quite
with with your next stages in life. Like, how do you draw lines between the work and
bandwidth wise? I'm overextended. So I just had a big move. We've got plenty of life stuff coming,
and a move into your own house, which
my
means
own house.
It's very different than I think moving into a rental, because you move into a rental and you're like, landlord, the sink doesn't work. You move into your own house.
I need
you're
to
like,
install this thing or fix this or whatever. Yeah.
Trim these trees. That's $12,000 or whatever. Some insane amounts of money that you did not even know people have to spend.
Yeah.
On
you're
things.
Like, maybe that tree can grow into that power line a little longer. We'll see. No. So bandwidth wise. And then also I have work has gotten for real again. And so, yeah, it's been super hard. That's true. I have been slacking on the podcast even in a way that has been pretty hard. But so, no, the answer is no. I don't have any good tools. I think I've taken on more responsibility than I have had in a long time. And today it definitely hit me. It's just like, oh, I've just got a lot on my plate and haven't really booked any guests for this podcast or even have a good unpaid endorsement as a result. Oh, you know,
well, luckily I have so many good ones. That's another, if you know, if I have a lot of good unpaid endorsements, it means I've been doing a lot of cool things. Well, so yeah, last night I got an email at 9 p.m. It was these notes about this project that I'm kind of like doing a bulk of the work for. And they kind of made me really upset because of just one note that wanted to like totally change the whole concept after I'd worked on it for so long. And at 9 p.m., I could have been like...
As a for instance, it's like, instead of a whirl, wormhole, what if it was a whirlpool? That seems pretty similar, like it's on the ground instead or something like that.
Yeah.
Like something that seems innocuous, but you've been like working.
I'd 3D modeled this wormhole. I'd done the storyboards for it. I'd have meetings with the DP, production designer, all these different people, rewrote the script a few times to make it happen. And then they're like, yeah, we don't know if the wormhole makes sense now that we think about it. By the way, the shoot is next week. And so maybe can we explore? Yeah, it wasn't a wormhole. It was like some other device to transfer someone over, but a totally different
device. Teleporter or whatever. Yeah. Does a catapult.
They actually
something different.
Didn't even have... Literally, honestly, an idea. They just didn't like the wormhole because they thought it implied something that's not true about their product. Anyway, at 9 p.m., you get that email, and this is me, like, kind of out of my mind. Like, my family's like, where are you? My kid's crying. Like, everything's
yeah, brand new
insane.
Kid. Yeah,
dogs and peeing all over the bathroom. Sure. And I'm like,
yeah.
Should I respond right now to this email, or should I let these people who are just, you know, no offense, but like corporate people that have a corporate job, you know, have the night off and I can email them tomorrow morning with my thoughts on this.
A more
note.
Level-headed response to. Yeah.
So of course I responded last night. What am I going to do? Not respond. But I do think that like that stuff is like the fuller your life gets outside of work. You know, I think as you move from your 20s to your 40s or whatever, the more I think about how much I'm affecting other people's schedules and how... And the more I try to say, like now I really actively try to block out the weekends. Like if, like I had this job, I came back from Branson on a Friday and they wanted a treatment on Monday morning. And I was like, well, that means I'm working all weekend. Like, can you give me till Tuesday night? Because I for my family, I can't just be working all weekend all the time.
Yeah. Especially like it's part of it is that you're missing out on things or you're not actively part of it. But also your kids are young enough that they need active work and attention. You know what I mean? It's not just that you're ignoring them. It's that you're transposing that work onto someone else, probably a loved one, you know?
Yeah. And also my wife works and we have this deal. I don't mean to like humble brag. I don't think it's a humble brag, but like we have this deal where we're like 50-50 parents, like time wise, you know, like if we are, we do have like a nanny now part time and you know, that does kind of help us both work at the same time. But if my wife, like yesterday, my wife shot a show and I, with the nanny, we have the nanny till 1:30. And so like, I have to figure out what to do from then until bedtime. And it's just life, it's hard. It's just a different thing than like the 100% work thing. And I find it refreshing to see other people, especially on social media, finally be like, hey, we can't actually just work nonstop all day.
This is crazy. This is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, just something I've been thinking about lately, but I...
Yeah, the thing that it makes me think about as we're both kind of in this zone is that going back to my point I made before of like the passion projects are oftentimes the other part that get pushed to the side. You know, like if you're actively either just making a living and supporting your family or trying to spend time with them, how does that other... creative work fit into your life? Because that is the work that makes you, that helps you level up. You know what I mean? Even if you're happy making great commercials and things like that, you know, it's something where you, that wasn't my plan to begin with, you know, and I still, you know, we're touring with this feature and, you know, I have another one that I would like to make next year. And so making time for that work as well, because there's no one, the only person holding me accountable to getting this feature made is myself right now.
Yeah.
You know?
And by the way, I don't mean to shatter your hopes and dreams, but zero chance you're going to make your feature this year. With all
I'll
the
take
stuff
that bet.
You have.
Yeah. Hard bet.
Going I'll bet you $20.
$20 right here. betting.
Oh, I thought that was a high five.
2022, I'm going to shoot it.
Yeah, we'll see about that. because of the external factors in your life.
I understand.
And I have like kind of given up for now on the like, I'm going to write a feature for 3 hours every morning, you know? And I'm trying to channel my passion project more into like this low budget commercial I'm doing. I get to learn and study and story tell, you know, albeit in 30 seconds as opposed to 2 hours or whatever. And I'm, you know, if I maybe will do a project with my kids, I try to get in more of like have more of a multimedia, less like so focused on like TV and film, and more like, hey, I can be artistic and find cool things.
Sure. Yeah. Macaroni art. For sure.
Yeah. Or like, so during COVID, I made these like little videos with my daughter, you know, on Instagram that literally are just shot on my iPhone with like a visual effect or something. And I get this last week, I got a call from someone that wants to do like a campaign similar to that for Jack in the Box, like little kind of DIY things. You shoot it, you edit it, like let's do things. And I don't know, probably don't have time to do it. But like, just because it's not a feature film doesn't mean it's not creating opportunities 100%. For you in the film business.
And maybe that's the actionable piece of advice, is like finding ways to segment out your passion projects into bite-sized chunks, whether that's literally a feature, but you're only writing it 15 minutes a morning, or, you know, exploring teeny tiny short films, Instagram posts rather, or, you know what I mean? Like your point being like, you still have to find and explore your passions, but the how big the bite is, how much time you have, has to be elastic.
Yes, that for sure is always true. But the other thing, I guess, that I think I'm coming to here is that the things that you already do in your life, try to find a way to be passionate about those and make those into your art. So if you're already hanging out with your kid every day from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m., like, what's the fun thing you can do? What's the video you can make with them? What's the adventure you can go on? We went, you know, mm-hmm. I never edited it, but like I shot like a spec spot for Disneyland when I went with my daughter to Disneyland, because, you know, I had my iPhone and I had her and I had all these like fun shots, and I had this concept for like, oh, what if I just keep doing the same shot on every ride, and then we can do like a montage of them. It could be cool, you know, like, so use that. Or if you have a job like a commercial, find the thing that really excites you about it. Or if you have a writing job, or if you have anything, like you're making a video for your church.
I think that's life advice, whether you're maxed out time wise or not, you know. And I think that maybe it's just easier to lose sight of that when you're spinning a lot of plates, basically. But like, you have to stay engaged and you have to stay passionate and you have to search for those opportunities actively.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what's going on with us.
Yeah, love it. Shall we answer some listener questions? Yeah. So we've got two really pertinent ones about legal clearances that I thought we could talk about. And I think we can kind of
wildly
lump them together.
Exciting.
I think so, actually. So first, the first one's from Alex from Room for Cream Films. And he was making a piece for a specific brand, but I think it was kind of like a contest, basically. But his question basically was like, when I'm shooting in a grocery store and there's corporate branding all over the place, what do I do, basically?
Oh, man, I meant
to. Because we've seen this in many films over the years and want to know what steps a filmmaker should take to make sure they're in the clear. And then Monica, a different listener, wrote us and asked, she's produced a feature film and there are a few lines in the film that are spoken as dialogue that are published song lyrics. And she wanted to figure out if that's okay or not, basically what the advice is. So kind of two different legal clearances questions that kind of have, for me, a similar answer and opportunity.
Which is funny because my response is, even though those questions seem similar, I have like two wildly different answers for them.
Take it away, Oren. Hit me.
Well, maybe I'll answer Alex's question first because I feel more confident about knowing the answer to his question than to Monica's question. So have you filmed in a grocery store before, or a supermarket?
I have, yes. AMPM in particular, actually. I've done a good number of spots.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the short answer, which is also the obvious answer, is yeah, don't show any other brands. The thing that comes to mind is like, how on earth are you filming an environment that is just thousands and thousands of brands? How do you hide them? And again, the answers are just super dumb and super obvious, but true. Shallow depth of field, right? Like everything in the background should be out of focus. Shoot on fast
lenses. I mean,
fast
the film
lenses.
School answer is like you see people flipping a bag of Cheetos around.
Yeah.
So that the back is facing camera, which
exactly.
is a bummer. It's a bummer for sure.
Hide the brand. Yeah. Or with Cheetos specifically, you could pile them sideways. You can get, I did a movie where we got like a product placement partner where they didn't pay us. They gave us free product and permission to use it on camera. So we filmed in a AMPM. It's my movie with Lori Loughlin. And just basically any shelf that was not out of focus, we covered with that product. It was like a pretzel company. They made pretzels and chips and things. And then I just filmed during COVID in a supermarket. And yeah, we just like blocked our actor as far away from the shelves as possible. And we had to move a lot of things. Like, hey, that's a giant Coca-Cola sign. Let's move that. Bring your own signs that say like for sale or whatever. Make like 10 big signs that you can strategically place in front of things.
Or I think we talked about this on an episode a while ago. You know, the sticker booklet, the greeting book that all art people have. It's got a ton of different stickers in a starburst shape and an oval shape and a square shape and an arrow shape. All of that stuff. Those are designed and in a variety of colors, so you can kind of match the color palette of, say, a Cheetos bag and go ahead and cover it up a little bit as well. So I think it's worth it to take a step back, because I think there is a huge difference between your short film, a feature film, and a commercial, and what clearances are important for each, basically. And a television show, basically.
Yeah. For a commercial, yeah. You pretty much do not want to feature other brands.
Right. And the reason that you don't want to do that is not really from a legal perspective. And this is true for television as well. It's not illegal, quote unquote, and I'm not a lawyer, so double check with your lawyers, everyone, but it's my understanding that it's not illegal to, say, show a Nike swoosh on someone's shoes if it's incidental, if it's not featured, you yeah. know.
If it's used in the manner in which it's supposed to be used.
Correct. But specifically for television shows and for commercials, they're selling, or they are the product of, a brand. And so if you're shooting an episode of Black-ish and like there's, you know, promotional consideration provided by whatever company, and then you see a Nike swoosh in the background, you know, if that whole
Reebok,
family wears Adidas or Reebok
Nike.
Or whatever, that's a problem for the brand. And so it's not that it's legally a problem, but it's more of like the inter company politics of it that make it complicated, right? Which is why it's important to delineate, basically.
Yeah, and you never know who owns what. Like I told you about the commercial, I did a Krylon spray paint commercial. Krylon is sold at Lowe's, and we had some Home Depot looking orange things on our set, which is Home Depot is a competitor to Lowe's, so they didn't want us to do that because they want to be consistent with the brand. And then there's companies like Procter & Gamble and stuff that own like so many different brands.
Everything. Yeah. But also they all have their own legal departments, right?
Right. But sometimes it's okay. Like in a Pepsi spot, if you have someone eating Doritos, which are kind of recognizable from the shape of the chip, it's okay. Or Pringles or something, you know, because they're owned by the same company, sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's not. But for the supermarket, just to answer that question specifically, I would try to hide as much as possible. But that said, like if you see a shelf with a ton of blue cans and they're out of focus, even though anyone looking at it for more than a second would be like, oh, those are Pepsis.
Pepsi. Yeah.
It's fine if you can't read the word Pepsi,
right,
you know?
Right. And so I want to bring up the next thing that you had mentioned. And this is kind of, I think maybe if you look at a short film versus a feature, kind of the bigger conversation piece. Who cares, right, is the question.
Right.
Right. That's really kind of the subtext.
You mean from
of all
a legal department?
From a legal department or from a producer's department or whatever. Do we really think that Pepsi is going to sue us if this, this, and this? And the answer is probably not. I don't know. Who knows, right? In a short film, it's incidental. You're probably okay. Talk to a lawyer. You're probably okay is the common knowledge amongst film people. But the thing that I hate the most is that, like, you ask any crew member, they're going to have a slightly different understanding of what any of this all means. And the answer for who cares on a feature film that you want to distribute is your clearance company, which, and that's their whole job. Basically, once you're done shooting a movie, you send it to them, and then they give you a very detailed report of like, hey, I can see a Heineken in the background of this shot. You need to take care of it, or it's okay. No big deal. It's incidental. And then that clearance company, that clearance report, is what you use to get errors and omissions insurance, which is what distributors require for you to distribute your movie with them. So that's who cares, right? Do you think that Pepsi is going to sue you? Probably not. Do you need multiple experts to say we don't think Pepsi is going to sue you in order for a company to take on the risk of distributing your movie? Because a distribution company isn't going to just be like, well, my buddy on set said it's probably fine. Do you know what I mean? Like that's why it's important. And so the reason I was excited to talk about these two questions is because it's an opportunity for people to learn in a small stakes environment how to do it right and what you should do, basically. And that can equip you moving forward, basically, as your films get bigger and you work on different sets and stuff, because there's so much hearsay on sets.
Yeah. And the one thing I kind of overall rule I would recommend is try to not be disparaging to a brand. Don't have a scene in your movie where someone, you know, eats some Pop Rocks and then drinks Coke and their head explodes because of those two brands.
That will not work. Basically, if you depict the thing that you're really worried about is if you depict a product and it operates in a way that is different than what it is intended, you know, if you eat Pop Rocks and it causes someone's head to explode, that's when people do have a problem, because that's when there are damages to the brand image. That's when they can say this famous movie is making Pop Rocks look bad, and therefore it's going to hurt our sales. Therefore, we can sue them for the loss in sales.
Right. And then there's like, you watch Ted Lasso, right? Yeah, I think you recommend it. Like, you know, there's this whole story arc about this. The team is sponsored by Dubai Air, and Dubai Air is doing some pretty negative things. And I was like pretty shocked if Dubai Air was a real company, and it ends up not being a real company. There is no Dubai Air. And so I think that that's one way to get around things is obviously making up fictional companies. How does a movie, a documentary like Super Size Me, which is rather anti-McDonald's, how do they get away with it?
Documentaries are under a totally different jurisdiction. They're under fair use. That's the difference. And so going back to the point of like, how do you do it right? The answer most of the time is either have a lawyer or a clearance company. If you can build a relationship with a clearance company and you've got something small, sometimes you can send it to them. And also those companies, you can send them your script, and for a couple $1,000, they can go through and double check everything as well, which is how you kind of avoid the thing that Monica was describing as a song lyric. It's like, maybe they fix that. Maybe they don't, or catch that. Maybe they don't. But
yeah, well, that's a great question about the song lyrics. What is the answer there?
That's a lot more complicated, and I don't really know the answer. I think you would have to kind of explicitly talk to a lawyer about it if you're especially worried.
And just to restate the question, there's a movie, some of the dialogue in it is based on song lyrics from a known song that's been published.
Correct. Correct.
Is that allowed? I mean, yeah, my instinct is that it's probably okay, especially if you're just saying like the chorus, you know, or something, or some.
If you are singing it, that's a different problem. But if it was just like, if I said, hey, Jude, you know, that would be okay, I think.
Hey, Jude. Yeah. Yeah. That I think, especially if you have a character named Jude.
Shout out to my producer and dear friend B. Chaheen, who worked for basically every episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and produced See You Next Christmas with me. She was that's her superpower, is catching those things and getting them taken care of beforehand, because television tends to be the most rigorous on that front. Features, I think, are a little bit more relaxed on that. But so the thing that she was really good at was just kind of keeping an eye out on props, art, and just getting ahead of things. So that's what you should do is like reach out to the companies and get that information beforehand. If you're working with a company or a production company that has clearance sheets and things like that, you can reach out. And it's as simple as like sending an email or two, but you just need to do it, you know, in prep, basically.
I don't imagine you asked B about this song lyric question, did you?
No, but I could.
You should.
Yeah, I will. I will. She will have a great answer. We're going to have her on the show in a couple weeks, too, so maybe we can ask her then.
I do want to just give two quick anecdotes about these things. Number one, I worked for Disney for many years, giant company. We were allowed to have somebody drink a Coca-Cola, and it could say Coca-Cola on it. We could have somebody use a MacBook laptop with an Apple logo on the back, no problems. However, if there was any art involved or photography, I'm not talking about logos and trademarks, I'm talking about art and photography, we were not allowed to use it. So for example, the photo of the background that comes with macOS standard, we were not allowed to use that. And it wasn't clear whether we would get sued or not, but they were like, just change the background to like a cleared image. You know, usually you have like mountains or whatever, some scenic background that comes with macOS. We had to change that out. And if we were filming anywhere, and even if there was illegal graffiti on the wall, we were not allowed to show it because it's someone owns that art. Like an artist made that art and you don't have the clearance to show it.
Nowadays, in LA in particular, people are putting their Instagram handle at the bottom of murals so that you can
spot clear them.
Basically. Yeah.
Interesting.
And so they have contact info. This is not for just like, you know, Oren was here randomly spray painted, but like those really cool murals.
Right.
You can reach out and be like, hey, I would like to license this image. And that's part of how they're making money.
Yeah. Do you know if you're filming on Sunset Boulevard and you have a bunch of random billboards in your shot, can you use those?
Again, it's incidental. And so oftentimes the answer is yes. Oftentimes it's easier just to kind of get all of them cleared. I'll say this. So I created a show called Squaresville that was like an early breakout. And in the movie See You Next Christmas, we put it up as artwork in the background of one of the homes of the characters. And then I realized later, I was like, oh, dang, I sold the rights to this to a company that had then been acquired by another eventually it was owned by Viacom, basically, is what I'm saying. And I had to like dig through the legal department bureaucracy to technically get a show that I created cleared, basically. Yeah.
That's crazy. Also, I have the exact same story. I made this series, this web series, and I sold. It was this comedy series thing that I put on YouTube that just I made with my friend. Then we sold the concept to Adam Film, you know, where you might have been working. And they paid for two new episodes and to license our two old episodes that we already made. So it was four total to put on Adam Film. And then freaking YouTube took down my original videos. They said Viacom had filed like a copyright thing against my
DMCA
channel.
Sure, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I had to take off my own like homemade YouTube videos because Viacom claimed to own them.
Yeah, technically, I don't think you were supposed to have those up anymore. That's part of what you're paying for, is their exclusivity.
Well, I had so many views on them and Olivia Munn was in one of them. Come on.
Yeah.
My other anecdote is I have gotten two cease and desists before in my commercial world. Both of them were for Quiznos campaigns I did. One, we were parodying Mad Men meets X-Men, called it Mad X-Men, obviously. And we got a cease and desist letter from Lionsgate, who, unbeknownst to me, is the people that own the rights to Mad Men. And they said that we were using their IP to advertise for Quiznos, and also that we were using X-Men's IP, which is not owned by Lionsgate, but X-Men had been doing ads for Carl's Jr. So they thought it could seem like we were saying X-Men is also doing ads for Quiznos. Needless to say, our lawyer wrote back and said it's parody, fair use, and that was the end of that. And it happened again with Quiznos when Burning Man tried to sue us because we mentioned them, and the same thing happened. So,
I mean, that's the advantage of having a lawyer on retainer, basically.
Yeah. So if you are doing commercial stuff and you do have access to a lawyer, you can get away with some things, but it's tricky. Obviously, don't take my word for it, but I'm just saying, you don't always have to lose this fight on every single
thing. Sure. And the more you understand about it and the more you can explain the circumstances, the easier it is to get a lawyer on your side.
Yeah. Anyhow, let's get to Cal Barnes' question.
That's right. We've got Mr. Cal Barnes, who previously emailed us to let us know that he listens to the entirety of our episode. Shout out once more, Cal. Thank you. So he's got a question. He actually, I'm a little familiar with his film, The Astrid Experience, which was also a WeFunder film, not unlike See You Next Christmas, the film that I produced that my wife wrote and directed. They shot it kind of thinking that they were going to forego any sort of festival release, yada, yada. The whole issue with shooting in 2019 and then all 2020 festivals and 2021 festivals kind of being up in the air has kind of thrown them a little out of whack. But now that they are not releasing immediately, they had that thought about like, oh, what should we do about film festivals? Maybe we should put that back on the table. And so right now they're trying to decide whether they do a DIY self-release basically in March of 2022 or wait for a year and see if they can get any sort of solid festival exposure basically.
Yeah, and he also, Cal had talked to Jim Cummings, who's kind of famous for self-releasing, self-distribution, you know, with the company he's working with, Vanishing Angle. They have a new movie, The Beta Test. They did The Wolf of Snow Hollow not that long ago. I'm sure Jim is shooting another movie right now. And they've had a lot of success with it. You know, I think I have no idea how much money they're making. Like, are they making a lot of money on the Jim Cummings movies?
You know, it's hard to say. I know that Thunder Road, they kind of tout as like, they had like a deal in France, a theatrical run in France that basically doubled their MG or something like that. They have a couple like really satisfying stats, and I think they continue to make these movies, so I think that is a model for success. So the thing I want to say about self-distribution, I think it is right for a certain type of person, Jim being kind of the poster child for it, but they're, you know, it's not unlike building a social media following or, you know, something similar, or sort of starting your own business. You know, I think it's very easy to go to a restaurant, let's say, and be like, oh man, this looks so fun. I'm pretty good at eating food. I should start a restaurant, right? And that might be true. You maybe should start a restaurant. But I guess what I'm saying is that it always looks a little easier on the outside, because people are talking about their successes as part of their own branding and their own ability to kind of promote their product, basically, which makes complete sense.
Right. So someone like Jim Cummings that already has like hundreds of thousands of people that follow him that say, I will watch any movie you make, kind of has a built-in distribution model. And still, I know this because I've done some work for Vanishing Angle. You know, I edited I think I told you, like all those Netflix trailers was through Vanishing Angle. So I'm on some roster they have of people that they email when they need to do marketing and promotion. And when The Wolf of Snow Hollow came out, they emailed this entire roster and said, hey, we have some marketing stuff. We're looking for After Effects people that can make really cool, interesting digital marketing for Wolf of Snow Hollow. And I do believe they might have done that for The Beta Test also. And, you know, they're releasing a lot of other movies. So just because it's self-released, it doesn't mean they still have a company that is behind the marketing of this whole thing on top of Jim's already existing social media existence.
So, yeah, and this isn't a conversation about, you know, one specific company or person, but I guess what we're saying really is that it's a lot of work. There's a reason that distribution companies exist. There's a reason that all of these different disciplines have been siloed off, right? And so maybe you are the person who is really great at hiring a team that puts all that stuff together. Maybe you're a person who can do it all themselves. My hunch is most of us, mere mortals, kind of land somewhere in the middle. And there are things that we are really great at and things that maybe, you know, we should find some help on. And so I don't know what your war chest is like currently, Cal, but I think that, you know, you have to kind of, just like with you know, production, distribution and marketing, there is that kind of golden triangle of fast, good, cheap. And so you're probably going to need to put in a lot of sweat equity and do a lot of self-teaching. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that a lot of these people who are experts in self-distribution start selling those skills to other people because it just takes a lot of work. Like Liz Manischel is my favorite example. You know, Liz worked for years and years in Sundance and then also in kind of event screenings and all sorts of different stuff, built this wonderful catalog of skills and now will consult for you, basically. And I think that that's pretty consistent with everyone. It's not unlike, you know, people who did a really good job throwing their wedding becoming event planners. You know, it's just like, well, what, you know, you just get good at all that stuff. So, you know, why not sell it? So
that's like us. We're so good at filmmaking.
So good at talking about ourselves that we. Yeah.
I mean, to me, the kind of obvious question is like, why would you not submit to film festivals? Like at worst, you won't get into any of them. And who cares? You lost a little bit of money. You know, I'm not saying submit to 100 film festivals, but if wherever you live, submit to like the local festival.
Well, there is a little bit, as a tiny bit of pushback. I agree with you, Oren. But
it's also marketing for your movie.
Well, let's say you've got a war chest of $5,000 and that's for hiring a marketing person or the media spend or PR, all of that stuff. If you apply to a good number of film festivals, because your batting average probably isn't going to be perfect, right? You probably need to apply to a good number.
Well, how much does it cost to apply to like your AFI film festival? Is it like $50?
Yeah. Somewhere between $50 and $100, depending on deadlines and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can apply to 10, 20 festivals.
Yeah. So that's a lot of money, though, right? If you're talking about if your total war chest is $5,000, that's all I'm saying. I agree. I think you should go, Cal, I think you should go ahead and submit to festivals. I agree. Because even if it delays it by a year or two, like having a few laurels is a really nice thing to kind of help promote your film. Warren's right. It is marketing.
It's marketing. It's, you know, if you're in a small town or something, or let's say you're in Indianapolis or something and you're doing the Heartland Film Festival, like they will write about your movie in the newspaper, you know, and you do get the laurels, which
Indianapolis, actually, you know, Heartland happening right now. See you next Christmas is playing. Shout out to
awesome.
Indianapolis.
Hey, Indianapolis. You know, I think laurels from a festival no one's ever heard of are not always the greatest thing. But to me, if we can just like stop talking about the business of it all for a second, like there is nothing more fun. Like you make a film, an indie film.
Yeah.
So that you can go to the film festival with it and have a blast, you know, meet people, show it, do Q&As, talk to actors, meet other filmmakers, go to the bars, hopefully by the
time. And having just done a handful of festivals, that energy is there, but people are still cautious, you know, there's still like people wearing I'm vaxxed buttons and, you know, you have to check in at the door and all that stuff. Fingers crossed, by the time Cal's movie is like touring next year, that stuff will be a little easier to deal with. And I think it'll be very fun to go to a film festival next year is what my hope is.
Yeah. It's going to be so many deals being made, sex being had.
Sure.
It's gonna be amazing. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm all for submitting because the most fun I've ever had in filmmaking is being at film festivals with my movie, especially a feature. It's like a different thing than a short film too, you know? It's like you're the cool kids at a festival. Why would you not want to do that? Okay, we're running out of time. You got a meeting. I got a meeting. I want to quickly shout out two people that emailed us about listening to the end of the episode that I skipped on the intro, and I was like, should we edit this and put them back in the intro so they don't have their feelings hurt? But no, but if they really do listen to the entire episode, they're hearing this.
I mean, what better people to shout out later in the episode than people who listen to the whole episode?
Yeah, I can't wait for this episode to come out and these two people to email us saying like, why don't you include us? Because I'll be like, we included you, Victor
Prado.
We got
you. We gotcha.
So Victor Prado, victorprado.com, VICTORPRADO.com, has amazing work on his website. Almost all the people I think have emailed us before and we've been in touch with before. But yeah, he's got this like incredible like still photography stuff of like products. And then also we have Zach Hosseini, zachhosseini.com, ZACKHOSSEINI.com. Who also listens to the entire episode. So, you know what? Go to these people's websites. Check out their reels. Email them. Tell them you heard about them on Just Shoot It. Maybe hire them to direct a commercial that Matt and I have turned down. So, Zach and Victor, thank you for listening to the whole thing. Trying to check my email real quick, see if anyone else listened to the whole thing. No, apparently not.
Double checking. Wait, if not, we'll get back to you. While Oren's checking his email, I'd love to ask him, Oren.
Yes.
Can you hang out and endorse with me?
Unpaid endorsements.
Okay, so I'm going to go fast. I'm gonna kick it off with two real softballs. One, inspired by lunch today. Have you had the, I think Habit Burger is regional only to Southern California. They might be national. They do tempura-style green beans instead of fries. If you're at a Habit Burger, do yourself a favor. Check it out. Yeah. Tempura-style green beans and Habit Burger. And then you're going to love this one, Oren. Are you familiar with the Disney Plus series, What If?
Yes. Is that like a Marvel?
It is a Marvel cartoon thing that I love. Yeah, love. So here's what
Can
I like
I
about
watch it with my kid?
How are
it's
you?
It's animated, right?
It's animated. It is very violent, but
with blood?
No blood. It's Marvel, so there's no blood. But like, if you think about it for a second, I'm sure you've seen like the court
or
digital.
Die? Will,
I mean, in the first episode, it's like, what if Peggy Carter becomes Captain America, or rather, Captain Carter, and like she definitely kills 50 dudes. Are they like, oh no, I'm dead or decapitated or something like that? No, it's like cartoon violence.
Is it worse than Squid Game, which I tried to watch with my daughter last night?
I haven't watched Squid Game yet, so.
Oh, it's pretty nuts.
I would say probably not. But here's what I like about it. The camera work is awesome, right? Like the action sequences are super cool. The way that they move the camera, you know, it because
it's animated, though.
It's animated, but it's certainly some sort of 3D. Cell-shaded 3D sort of look, you know? And
into
so
the Spider-Verse style?
No, it's less stylized than that. It's kind of somewhere in it's meant to evoke a comic book in a sense, but not in that kind of CMKY sort of printerly version. It's not meant to feel tactile in quite the same way, but there is kind of a line orientation to it, which is great. But a virtual camera and animators are like so awesome at layout, so awesome at shot design. It's part of their grammar. So like those sequences are really cool.
Oh yeah, it looks like really high-end storyboards.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh man, this is like the best previs I've ever seen in my life. But it's also like the conceit of What If is basically like in the multiverse, like what if a tiny butterfly effect change causes story complications that create a totally different cinematic universe, right? So in the, like I said, in the pilot, instead of Steve Rogers becoming Captain America, what if Peggy Carter becomes Captain Carter, basically? And all of the different, you know, the domino effect of all of those different things.
And do they have the same voice actors?
No, but they do like there's a few people I think who carry over, and they're not small time actors, but it is not consistent throughout everything. But it's really campy and really goofy in a way that I like am so charmed by, and it's the thing I've missed in comic books. It felt comic booky in a really fun, good way for me, in a way that like those movies are special in their own right, but they are not comic books. They are Marvel movies, you know? So those are my two.
I'll check it out for sure.
It was fun. I really liked it. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll do two. They're going to be kind of techie. I apologize.
Hit it.
Number one, if anyone follows me on Instagram, they know that I've been posting a lot about my iPhone 13 Pro. As of 3 days ago, Filmic Pro, the app that comes with the app that you can get to do, you know, kind of custom manual controls on your iPhone, now supports ProRes. So you can shoot ProRes 422 HQ on your iPhone. And by the way, when this episode comes out, will be 6 days from now. So this will be like a week old. But yeah, you can shoot ProRes on your iPhone. And I did these commercials in Branson, Missouri, and the cuts aren't done yet. But so far in our current edits, there are 4 of my iPhone shots in these broadcast TV commercials. So don't sleep on the iPhone, folks.
There you
go. Especially
man.
Now with ProRes, you can grade it and everything. It's going to be awesome. Get the 1 terabyte one. Also, you know, marry a billionaire if you want to afford it.
Yeah, I got the 0.5 terabyte like a sucker. Yeah. I hope the next one you're going to endorse is Polycam. I'm going to be mad at you if you don't do it.
Okay, I guess I can. I think I talked about Polycam before, haven't I?
Did you? I don't think so, man.
Because you can actually, you don't need the LiDAR. So the iPhone 13 Pro, iPhone 12 Pro, and iPad Pros all have a LiDAR scanner. I don't know what the terminology is, but a way to measure distances through your phone. It does. I don't know if it's sonic or how it works. The answer is probably in the name.
I think Anyhow, it's actually quite old technology, actually. I think LiDAR is like from the 50s and 60s. We just didn't really need it until now.
Oh, wow. Well, anyway, whatever this technology is, it lets you scan, do 3D scans of environments and rooms. And I have a shoot, you know, I've been talking about it. And I went to the stage and I scanned, did like an entire 3D scan of the stage. And I bought the program. It was like $60 for the year. And now I can, anything I scan, and I can export any format I want to Blender, Sketchfab, anything. You can even, literally, if you don't even do 3D stuff, you can go into this room, you can scan the room, and it works for exteriors too. You're like shooting at Disneyland. Let's scan this environment where we're going to be with your phone. It takes like 1 to 3 minutes, depending on how big the environment is. And you just walk around and it automatically takes pictures of the place from every angle possible. And it shows you what pictures you're missing. And then when you're done, you can even upload it to Sketchfab, which is a site that you can send some other people the link, like a production designer or DP or whatever. And they can take measurements. They can be like, oh, how high are the ceilings or whatever. And it even automatically generates blueprints of the room. So you can send the blueprints
it's
of your location.
It's pretty incredible. I will say I tried it in my new living room and the results were mixed.
Oh, with the 13 Pro?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How was it, daytime or nighttime?
Daytime.
And
but I had a lot of junk. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a really clear, clean, ideal circumstance. I had like moving boxes and flowers and ceiling fans. There was a lot of stuff that I think that this technology probably had a harder time with. And it went a little faster than I wanted, but.
Yeah. So this is for scanning spaces, not necessarily items. They have a separate mode to scan items, like small items.
I mean, these items were in the space.
Right. So it doesn't, like if you have a plant in the room, it's not going to like model every leaf. It'll just be like a big blob with a picture of a plant on it. But it's pretty good. Maybe I'll send me a message on Instagram. I'm at okaplan on Instagram and I'll send you a link to my Sketchfab scan so you can check it out for yourself. You can walk around the set and see. And I use
the boarding possibilities to me. That's the magic, right? Because I think, to your point earlier, it's like, okay, you know, a board artist and this and that. But if you can like literally just walk around your set virtually and find different cool angles and then show those angles to people in an efficient way, that's the future. That's
it. Yeah. And what I did for my boards is I took my 3D scan and I like rebuilt the walls just so that they're straight.
I was going to say, did you do some cleanup on it?
Yeah, but there's this whole kitchen area. I just left it as scanned because it's kind of a background element. But you get the dimensions right. You get like when you put a camera on in your scene, it's like the angles are correct. So it's freaking rad.
That is the future. That's wild.
So I will, I keep posting stories and they, you know, expire after 24 hours. So people.
You should put them in your highlights.
Ew. Can I still do that even not with an expired story?
You know, good question. I don't know.
Maybe I will do that. Thank
All right,
you.
Well, we'll
okay.
see.
Okay. Anyway, you got to go. If you have any comments, thoughts, anything, you just want to talk to us. You know, we're just like nice people that love to waste time talking
bros.
To our listeners.
Yeah.
Email us. We're not bros, okay? JustShootItPod@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you. You can find us across all social media. We're at JustShootItPod. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at SmightyPyleg. On everything else, I'm at OKaplan with a K.
And I'm at Mr. Matt Enlow. This episode was edited by Sarah Weirda. Thanks, Sarah. That's where your Patreon money is going, everyone. Thanks, Sarah. You're listening to music by the Free Music Archive and the artist Jazar.
Yes. And the secret code word to email us if you want to hear your name at the top of an episode is ProRes.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.